Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
All right. How do I want to start it? Because I always say, okay. Welcome back. I'm pretty sure I say that a lot too, but we are going to have our episode today because we know we're about to get into New Year's and we're recording this close enough in advance. We can predict that this episode will come out on that week. So we figured it would be really helpful to go over goals and the such, and there are SMART goals, and that is an acronym, and you know, making sure that you understand what that is one of our goals as well. But we have just some insight as we prep for the new year, which BT dub, I just want to put a disclaimer. I hate making goals for January. I like making goals starting June. So January is just the worst time to start goals sometimes. So let me just, I don't know if you guys agree, but
I think the truth is most people who set goals in January need to make new goals by June either way. So maybe you're just like giving yourself a break.
Yeah. An intentional break.
That's right. Self-care. So a couple years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago now, I stopped setting a goal in January, and I decided to find a word about what I wanted to kind of create or learn more about that year. So there's lots of ways to go about this, but one of the things that we want to maybe grow in awareness is that setting a goal that feels unobtainable or that you know I'm not really going to follow through actually messes with you. It messes with you feeling confident, learning to trust yourself, those kinds of things. And so I recommend that you not just say, well, whatever, everyone else sets goals, they're going to fail, so I might as well do that too. I actually think, you know,
it's tradition.
It's tradition to fail. No, probably not.
Tradition.
Yeah. So I think talking about SMART goals and maybe taking just even a different approach to what you're trying to create in your life is really good, and very much out of that victim, right? So we don't want to be a victim. If we go back to the drama triangle episodes of just this idea of it's January, so I quote unquote have to. Mm-hmm.
Another thing around New Year's resolutions that trips people up in accomplishing goals is publicly announcing your goal, posting on social media. It actually is detrimental, and you're more likely to fail in reaching your goal than keeping it to yourself. And the reason why is you get the same dopamine and endorphin hit in your brain as if you had actually accomplished your goal than if you are working on it and accomplish it just on your own.
So your brain's like, already accomplished this. And it doesn't like think, ooh, let's get down to business, as Donny Osmond.
Yeah, because chemically in the brain, it's the same as having accomplished it when you post it on social media or you tell people about it, than if you're working on it and you make progress on it. And so the brain's like, yep, done that.
Yeah. So it just it's like checking it off before it's done.
Well, one of my questions around that is, right, because as therapists, we set goals and we review them with our clients. So it's not a matter of just telling anybody, but this idea of a public announcement and kind of getting that cheering on. Is that what you think it is, Taylor? Because I would say it's still okay to have somebody that you're talking to and checking.
Yeah, accountability is different. Right. So like talking to your significant other, talking to your workout partner, your best friend, whatever that is. But this public announcement.
Mm-hmm. So it's like having validation from multiple sources and kind of having that overwhelm versus talking it through with one person and troubleshooting.
Yes. The difference. Okay. And so it's very interesting because what happens in multi-level marketing business plans, I guess, for lack of a different word, is that that's actually part of their marketing. Is like, yep, just to show that you're committed, blast it on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok. And it actually is counterproductive for people to then reach it because their business plan is actually dependent on getting people to sign up, but not advance. And so it's important for them because it seems like it's something that would work, but it keeps people stuck at the bottom of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Good to know. I didn't know it goes that into psychology with it, but I mean, it makes sense. There's the phenomenon that when you, the minute you post about it, it's, I feel like you've kind of doomed yourself in some ways at times, especially if it's more like a posting it like publicly, and you can kind of tell the intention. It's like, hey, you know, my goal is not to be on social media this month, so I'm just giving you a heads up, like, and then really being disengaged. If that person's saying, isn't that a great idea? Then I'm like, ooh, they're not going to make it.
But yeah, if
that
person, hey, if you need me,
that's an accountability statement, right? That's not a validation. I'm requesting that statement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I learned that during my positive psychology courses. Ooh. That was really fascinating because it seems so counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I think as we go into that, it's important to make a big statement. Absolutely is not, we don't use the SMART goal information. It really is just a statement, because SMART goals, is an acronym, right? So SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as you take, none of this is about announcements, things though that are like measurable, obtainable, realistic, and time bound, and even specific, are all about this accountability that we're talking about. This is about, how do I know whether I'm really on track with my goal and whether I'm really making progress?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think most people don't do a SMART goal because almost 1 in 4 people are no longer working on their New Year's resolutions by January 7th. And then an additional like 1 in 2 almost, like half almost, aren't working on their New Year's resolutions by the end of January, because they're publicly announcing them. They've made a goal, like you said at the beginning, Jennifer, that's unattainable. I'm sorry, hit my on the table.
Let me show you my jewelry. There we go.
It's tungsten.
It's really strong. But no, I think that that's a great way of being able to look at it too. Again, if you're doing the drinking game, I'm mentioning the gym. At this point, like, yeah, you notice. I think that's just one of the most noticeable things. I would also be curious to see, like, apps for like,
were those your knees?
Yeah, those are my knees. That's normal. Apps for like fitness and apps for things like that. Like, I would be interested to see user data of how quickly people stop using those apps, you know, and I'm sure it correlates with that timeline as well, or, you know, reading or things like that. Usually everyone I know, they start a book in January because they're going to do it. And then all of a sudden, like, unless they're used to that goal, they're out. And so
the other thing that gets people sidetracked from goals is the why of your goal.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about why being really unhelpful with empathy. Why is really important though for motivation.
And I think that goes completely into this idea of, like, you know, when we're looking at SMART goals and noticing, like, what is it that we need to be doing? I like the idea that why is not involved in specific, measurable, attainable, right? And timely.
What do you mean by not involved?
Oh, just it's not one of the things that you're measuring in the SMART goal. It's not
like you're measuring in it. Like,
because you can make a SMART goal without a helpful why.
It's the idea of, like, in the SMART goals, it doesn't have a W. It's the idea that it's like your why is kind of obviously being put into each of those areas, right? Why is it specific? I mean,
if you're from Boston, it could be SMART.
SMART. SMART. But it's the thing.
You grew up in Massachusetts.
I did. But I mean, relevant, I think, is the why. Like, why is this relevant to you? What's going on? But at the same time, you're not like asking yourself this general why that doesn't allow you to actually get into. Why is like a very surface question, I feel like, when it comes to goals, instead of like the meat, the roots, what is the reasoning for it?
That's so interesting, because that is, I have a completely different perspective about why.
Tell us about that. Good. That's great.
I was going to say, go for it.
Yeah. So you're for like, me, why is the emotional connection, right? So say, mm-hmm. like, common New Year's goal, people like want to get healthy and lose weight. why you want to do that will connect. There's a lot of research actually that shows that it connects you to the bigger decision. So if I'm saying I want to get healthy because I want to spend more quality time with my family, and I want to be a more engaged person, or I want to work towards feeling more capable or motivated, that remembering that why helps us through cravings. And so it's interesting that you're saying it's not there, because it's not part of the goal setting necessarily, although it is part of the goal obtaining. And mm-hmm. So if you have, like, you set a goal and you're like, oh, I want to lose weight, I want to go to the gym, but you don't know why, if you don't really care, well, because everyone else is doing it, is a terrible why.
Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm.
But if you don't actually have any emotional investment in the process, it doesn't matter how specific, measurable, obtainable, realistic, or time-bound it is. You have to have an emotional investment. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that why goes under specific, right? So real numbers along with that. So if I say I want to get healthier because I want because my doctor said I could get off of medication if I was, if my blood pressure came down, or if my blood sugar stabilized, that is a specific thing, right? Mm-hmm. But the why behind it is still important. So I would say it's not a hierarchy. You absolutely can't just do it by itself, but mm-hmm. I think it does come into the specific and measurable. So if you say, I want to get healthy so I can run around and play with my kids, then if we're checking in with accountability, my question may not be, what exactly are you doing to be healthy? Meaning the specifics of what you're doing, but how often are you getting down on the floor and playing with your kids? And you're like, well, I'm not doing that. Okay. Well, then, then we're measuring it from there. And so I think I can totally see where why could be used in a way that doesn't affect, but then the why of the emotional connection can actually be really powerful as well.
Yeah. On the opposite end of that spectrum, people use an unhealthy emotional reason, like shame.
Right.
Like, I need to look like Chris Hemsworth, or I need to look like Beyonce, or what have you. And so they're going to the gym because they're so disgusted with how they look. And they're not going to be able to reach that SMART goal because they have an unhealthy why.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on top of that, they're using a fear as a motivator, which is not an effective motivator long term. It's a short term motivator. And then what will happen is they'll feel miserable because they're shaming themselves. And then they'll reward themselves with some kind of dopamine experience that is often counterproductive to their goal. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Chris Hemsworth wouldn't be as attractive if everyone looked like him. So there's no point in trying to ruin that for everyone. Have you moved on from Zac Efron? This is my big question here, though.
Oh, hard pass. No, of course not.
Okay.
That's just a given. That's just there. It's just what it is. So let's look at those ideas of those SMART goals. You're mentioning a lot of like the nuances of what it is. So let's get specific. What makes a goal specific? Why? I mean, I could look at a goal and be like, I want to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym a lot this year. Right? Like what about that would need to be specific? Cause I'm saying I'm going to a gym. That's pretty specific. I'm going to Vasa. I'm going to the rec center. Right? What about specific needs to happen in a goal like that?
So in what is for specific, you want to do real numbers with real deadlines, right? So if you mm-hmm. said, I want to go, it could be a number of times a week, or I want to a number of times a month, mm-hmm. or, it could be a frequency of, I don't want to miss more than 4 days in a row. So anytime you can actually come back and say, okay, how do I know if I went to the gym a lot? There's no way to say that. But if you say, did I go to the gym 10 times this month? That's a yes or no answer. And so mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I look for when I try and be specific is, can I answer that in a yes or no way versus, with a philosophical degree.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Anything to add for this specific part, Taylor?
I don't.
Okay. Measurable. How do we make a goal measurable? I don't know, Haley. How do we make a goal measurable?
Well, I was going to say what I kind of answered specific. What would you say mm-hmm. about measurable, Haley?
I mean, I think with that, it's, I think measurable would be, I want, like you were saying, specific, like I want to go to the gym 4 times a week, right? Or let's, you know, one of my goals I have each year is I want to read 1 book per month, right? Measurable, I think part of it is that idea of I've identified a number I want to do. Another part could be measurable. If I want to read a book that's 200 pages or more 4 times a month, like different things like that. I think also like, essentially, can I easily check off done or not done with this kind of a goal, right? If I'm, let's think of the idea of measuring. If I'm saying like, I need some liquid in a test tube. Okay, there's one thing to be like, okay, I'm going to put like 1 centimeter of liquid into a test tube versus I'm going to put like 2 ounces into a test tube, right? And I'm going to make sure it accomplishes that goal that I have of measuring the quantity and being specific about it, right?
Yeah, if your goal is to become more patient, how are you measuring patience?
Yeah.
Is it I yelled less? Okay, how are you defining yelling? How are you measuring it? Do you have a sticker chart? Do you have an app that's tracking this?
Yeah, like a color mood chart that yeah. It's like, I was read 3 times versus 10 times this week. So I see that it's working for me.
Yeah, quality is going to be harder to measure than something that is very finite.
Mm-hmm. And Taylor mentioned a really important word of tracking, right? So measurable means that not only can you track it, but someone else could track it. So if I said, okay, Haley says she went to the gym 10 times this month. Could we go to the gym and see a check-in, you know, that many times? So it's not just about how do I feel I'm doing. It's about whether it can really be not only checked off by me, but actually that somebody else can verify it. And it's a part of that accountability versus that celebration that Taylor was talking about in the beginning, is we need to be able to be accountable to it. And that's where the measurable and or trackable is where we come in.
That makes sense. So we have measurable. The next thing we have is attainable. I think that's a pretty easy one. Can you read 7 books in a day? Probably not, right? Can I read 7 books in a year? Yeah, I could space that out and do that pretty well. But if my goal is something that's not actually attainable, I'm losing a battle before I even start.
Well, so for example, my daughter set a goal that Santa will give her $1 million. That's her goal this Christmas. This is going to come out after Christmas, and I am guaranteeing you that goal is not obtainable for her. She hasn't been that good. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
but Santa's not giving her $1 million. And when we went to sit on Santa's lap, he just says, that's a really big present. I'll see what I can do. But there was no promise made. So it's this idea of, can you get to what you want? Wanting something is one way. It's a very emotional process. We can feel very deeply about it, or we can even disregard it really easily. But if you don't have control over it, for example, you don't have control over what Santa's going to do, then it's not obtainable. So I can't set a goal and say, I'm going to force my kids to have no cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't say my spouse is going to take me on dates, because it's not obtainable. I don't have control.
Well, wait, pause. You're saying obtainable and the goal is attainable. Obtainable means that I'm gaining it and I'm able to receive it. You could receive those things. Attainable means, is that actually a goal I could get up to? Right. And like you said, like it's outside of my jurisdiction. If it's my spouse's actions, my kids' actions, right. I can't be like, my kids are going to complete their chore chart 5 days this week. That's specific. That's measurable, but attainable is maybe not, because I could receive that from someone, but is it attainable on me? No, is it attainable on them? Yes.
And that was really my point, is that if you don't have control over what's happening. So for example, if you say, I'm going to eat 47 strawberries every day, and that's going to help me lose weight. That's just not necessarily a correlation. And so you may not be making an attainable goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know where the number 47 came up with, but that's what
it's a great number for strawberries. I mean,
thanks. There
you go. Yeah, I see clients set unattainable goals not infrequently, that they put too many things on their list. And I think that this kind of toxic positivity that we've talked about before plays a role, that you're all powerful. Anything you set your mind to, you can achieve. And there are things that I like about that mentality, but it kind of plays into the next part of smart, of realistic, that there's only so many hours in a day, and you have to prioritize. And so you can't do everything. You have to choose what you can and what you can't do. And so if you're choosing, setting a goal to do 100 things a day, and you only have time for 12, then your SMART goal might be unattainable if you are putting too many things on the list.
And unrealistic too, because you don't have the time, energy, or bandwidth to do those kinds of things.
And that's so, the next one is it real, also relevant, right? You said realistic, but, and my mind went other places, but it's the idea of like, is that also like part of what the goal is you're trying to describe? Like you said, the strawberry goal, I think that works with this next one, relevant, right? How are strawberries relevant to your, you know, weight loss or trying to be healthy, right? Now it would make sense if it's like, I have a low iron, so I'm going to take one iron supplement each day and get my iron back to what it needs to. And it's relevant to the goal I have in place, which is my goal is to maintain a healthy iron level, right? But like you guys are mentioning some of these things too, of like, are these things actually realistic and are they really relevant to the major goal I have in mind? Right.
Right. And the other thing is we're looking for that it ties to long-term intentions too. So somebody who was trying to improve their relationships, it wouldn't necessarily be relevant to say, I'm going to go on as many first dates as possible. It that would be relationship related, but not relevant to the idea of quality. And so we want to make sure that we're actually checking in to say, how does this goal, once it's specific, measurable, and achievable, how does it move into being relevant to my overarching value system?
Yeah, unless quality isn't a value, in which case go for it. Like,
right. That's the question. Just
slap it on and get it done. It's kind of like those cooking shows at the last 2 minutes. I was watching Great British
like Bake Off.
Yeah, Nailed It or something, where they're like, you have 2 minutes left to make a souffle. And they're like, it's in the pot. That's all I care. Right. Like, maybe your goal is I just need to finish within the time. Then that's fine. Then quality is not part of it. However, majority of our goals, we're probably looking at, and that's part of goal making, and that's part of timely, right? That we're going to go into, that we're going into, is this idea of, you know, am I giving myself enough time to do it? Because I'm guessing you want to accomplish your goals and have them seamless or have them feel like they are whole.
Right. And I think that's I like that you brought that up too, because part of the goal is to give yourself permission to be growing into the goal and not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So often when we talk about stopping a behavior, saying I will never struggle with that behavior again, is that struggles with achievableness, but also relevant. The goal is not compliance, it's improvement, it's skill building. And so we really need to look at how are we relating what we're choosing to do to the long-term effect. So for example, we work with a lot of people who have an addiction. If someone just says, well, I'm never going to do this again, I've seen them skirt around whatever they didn't do and just choose to start something new that was, but they never did, you know, X again, they're now only doing Y, but both undermined their long-term.
And just to be more specific about what you mean, Jen, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they lie by omission a lot. Like, yeah, but I didn't do heroin. Okay. But you did a lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're like, but I didn't do heroin. And you're like, yeah, that's not relevant to the overall goal of being a sober, safe person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a goal that I think we should all seek. But yeah.
So when you're making goals for this coming year and you're feeling pressure to do so, and every person you know is telling you, what are your goals? I think finding ways to sit down, I try to make at least one goal in each of the pillars of my life. I try to make a spiritual goal, a physical goal, a relational goal, a, you know, what am I forgetting? There's a lot of other ones, obviously, educational goal, things like that. Education and work-wise, I'll usually make a goal within there. So for me, I'm like, I want to have one more training this year in a modality or get one more state license because I, you know, want to start seeing clients in another state and I don't know why, but there we go. And there, I try to have one each. And so for me, when I'm looking at these SMART goals, that helps organize them for me. I also have a goal journal. So that was kind of mentioned before, like ways to do it every year around this time of year. I usually try to start it in November, but I was a little busy getting married in November. So that put a wrench in my plans, but it's okay. But I usually sit down and I plan for the year. I don't try to do it on December 31st. I usually plan it October, November, and I start making my goal journal and set it up so that way I can be actively using it the next year and essentially just filling it out. I put doodles in it and I put check marks and I put boxes and I put little circles I can fill in and things that kind of make it fun for me. I know Jen likes to do coloring and stuff like that for her. And I have a similar kind of thing where I like designing my coloring thing and then coloring it in. So I do my goals in that way. And I think that that's also part of this is don't make your goal the day before you need to start. You should be prepping before while there isn't a rush so you can clearly identify it and not just slap something together. Look at your goals and start preparing. And I know this is coming out on the 29th, but I think that's still enough time to look at it and say, hey, starting the first full week of January, I am going to do this. And here are ways I can do it. And here's what it's going to look like. And it can still look pretty regulated. Or 26, this is coming out the 26th, JK, not the 29th. So definitely more time. But I don't know. What do you guys say?
I think giving yourself permission to change the way you look at your goals is the thing that I would encourage most for people. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting getting different results, I've heard some things about that process that I would just encourage you maybe not, just don't do the same thing. Do something different and see how it goes. That's part of growth mindset versus fixed mindset and some other things. So I would just encourage you, if there was something that you heard in here that's a little bit different, give yourself permission to stay curious about that and try something new.
Yeah, reflect, get introspective. Something that I see clients that are struggling with their goals is they'll say, you're right, I just need to do it. Like, well, hold on, like, let's slow down. What's not been working? Like, no, you're right, I just need to do it. Like, well, sure. And what's getting in the way? And people really want to just jump over the step of looking at what's maybe gotten in the way in the past of it, reaching a goal. Like, is it because it wasn't specific? Was it not measurable? Was it not attainable? Was it maybe not realistic? Was it not time bound? And there's this whole bootstraps mentality, and we forget that it's literally impossible to lift yourself up by your bootstraps. And so it's okay to just review your goal and see it. What do we need to tweak about it?
Also, what are you excited about it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm excited to write down another book I finished. I'm excited to be like, oh, I did that, right? Or I'm excited to check off that I did complete 3 meal prep items that I was trying to do that week, or that I finished a training. And so I think also not just, you know, oh, what do I have in front of me and what's not working for me? What is working for me? I think also just get yourself excited about it, or plan. What is it that if I complete these things, what's the thing I'm getting? It's not just, well, you get the peace of mind and knowing you did it, right?
Right.
It's also this idea of like, what are some ways I can celebrate once I finish my goals? That should be really at the end of SMART goals, is that idea of celebrate. How are you going to celebrate each goal you do? How are you going to mark it and make it a good occasion for you?
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook @FateResilience. We'd love to hear from you.